Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in advance of the Dublin Pride Festival kicking off at the end of the month, tour guide Anna Collins will be leading people around Glasnevin Cemetery for the Glasnevin Queer History Tour. Afternoon, Anna.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you keeping?
Not too bad. So, on the tour, what's like the oldest example of this you're going to be sharing with people?
So we go back a fair bit. I mean, probably one of the oldest people we're going to be looking at is Jack Saul or John Saul. He was born in 1857. So we go a fair bit back. You know, the cemetery was only founded in 1832. So we get as close to that as we can.
Right. Okay. So tell us a bit about him.
Oh, so he's a brilliant figure now. He was born in the Liberties, working class family. But at the time, you know, Dublin would have kind of been a military port. And so the big money maker, really, for a lot of people was the brothels. And so at the age of 17, he decides that sounds great for him. He'll head in there. He ends up going over to London. He kind of gets catapulted into this really high-end world. You know, this just this young boy from the Liberties gets thrown into the world of lords and dukes and earls. And he ends up, he kind of ends up back in Dublin eventually. But he lives this crazy life.
Yeah. And, did he find any kind of fame and fortune from any of this?
Well, fortune, I'm not too sure. Fame, for sure. He definitely became kind of well-known, at least at the time. But he would have been involved in a few scandals. So there was the likes of the 19 Cleveland Street that was a brothel that he was involved in, and it basically blew up. It was on fire, but but the whole operation really blew up. There was this big court case where you had Lord Houston on trial, and Jack had to testify against him. So his name did definitely get around. He was also an author at one point, published a book, Now Nothing You'd Want to Read to Your Kids. But so he definitely got a bit of a name for himself. I'm not too sure about the money now.
Yeah.
But definitely got well known.
Okay, yeah, no, well, a fascinating character. In the and when you're charting this history, because we were talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago who was doing a tour in the GPO, a similar thing about queer people who were involved in around 1916 and that kind of thing. And I think there was a similar difficulty there in that in some instances, are you kind of inferring the people were gay? Because obviously no one was going to say it.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, like, at some point, just ask, like, is it so much of a jump to say they were really good friends who lived together for their whole lives and slept in the same bed versus they were a couple? Do you know what I mean? Mm. So there's a certain amount of inference, but, like, to be honest, the research right now is pretty good. We're really indebted to a lot of the work that's been done by historians. And, you know, we can kind of prove beyond doubt for a lot of the couples at the very least. But other times what you're kind of talking about are, let's say, queerness more generally. You're talking about kind of movements. You get a lot of kind of feminism, so when that would kind of come up, women would be trying to exist really in new ways, you know, trying to enter society a little bit more, and with that they start to imagine or reimagine what their relationships look like. So it's not necessarily always about couples, sometimes it's just more about how people were thinking at the time regarding relationships and romance and things like that.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, because Davy Byrne, I was reading there, that's a classic example, you know, buried with his very good friend kind of thing.
Very good friend, exactly. So when it comes to people like him, like, we don't really have that much to tell us about his life. We know quite a lot about his pub, though. And so that's another kind of example of, I wouldn't necessarily even infer that he was gay. I'd just say, you know, he is there with his best friend. But we know all of these things that happened in his pub throughout the years, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily associate with the place nowadays.
Yeah, it strikes me it was probably easier if you were a lesbian in those days to live with some of them, because there seemed to be almost a denial about it.
Yeah, there was definitely an acceptance of, like, lesbian relationships. They weren't given the same scrutiny, but also they weren't given the same kind of seriousness as you'd have with straight relationships. But for sure, there was a period in time, now it's a little bit earlier than when we're talking about, but there was this accepted thing, they called them romantic friendships, which is where women would just be in relationships. But the whole idea was that you only did that when you were young. You know, you gave it up and eventually you got married to a man, and that's the important thing. But they were well-established, kind of well-accepted things in lesbian relationships in the 1700s, 1800s.
That's so interesting. I did not know that. That's so interesting. If people want to go on the tour, Anna, how do they sign up for it?
Online. Tickets, you can get them at the Dublin Cemetery Trust website if you go into Experience Glasnevin. We're running them for the next 2 days. We've got one left today, and then we've got one tomorrow, or two tomorrow, and two the following day.
Fantastic stuff. Best of luck with it. Anna, thanks very much for talking with us today. That was Anna Collins there, tour guide at Glasnevin Cemetery.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.